Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. I want to talk a little bit about the Fed today. We've done that before, but there's a lot of activity going on, a lot of printing of money and things of this sort. But there's a lot of inconsistency with Fed policy. But they consistently prop up the stock market. That is the case for sure. And there's a question in my mind, how much collusion is there really between, the president and Powell, the Federal Reserve? I think there is a lot more than people pretend. They pretend they're fussing. But, I don't think the Federal Reserve has much choice in what they're doing, because they're there to accommodate spending. And there's a definite need to prop up a dollar to make dollars strong enough, because we are the reserve currency, and we're in a wonderful, wonderful place where we print a lot of money. People will take it, and they can continue to do this. And yet the trouble is brewing, because it encourages a lot of bad mistakes. And that's what we're facing today. But I am convinced that probably what occupies the minds of Donald Trump, other people in the administration, Democrats in the House, Republicans in the House and the Senate, and the whole thing is, how do you pay for these debts? They're bigger than ever before. The national debt is, $22 trillion, and the spending is higher than ever. It's over $3 trillion and going up. And you have to be able to accommodate. And who's going to loan the government money at a market rate? Because nobody even knows what the market rate is. You know, if you were truly loaning money to government, you might want 3 or 4 or 5%, but if they knew the truth, they might want more interest, more like the interest that occurred in the 70s, because it would be so risky. But right now, there is no problems, because the world's still accepting dollars, the government is growing, and there's a tremendous subsidy that goes to those who benefit, and that is in the welfare system and the military-industrial complex, and all the reasons that they are spending the money. But I think there's definite evidence that there's a close coordination between the politicians and the Federal Reserve system. I think that is the case, and certainly in 1987, it was very blunt. There was a very, very sharp drop in the stock market, and that's when President Reagan issued an order for the plunge protection team, the president's working group on financial market. What do you do when there's a plunge? And they're there, and they're very busy. Quite frankly, I think they're busy right now. Chris?
I agree, Dr. Paul. President Trump wanted a bigger stock market bubble, and it looks like the Fed is going to give it to him. The markets are now at record highs, so the markets are anticipating all the new money and credit that the Fed is going to be pumping. But why did they listen to Trump? And I have my own thoughts about this. I think it's because it is Trump. Trump will say what other presidents dare not say. And he was already blaming the Fed as they were raising interest rates, that if this market falls, the blame is going to go right on them. And that's a new development. Normally, the mainstream media, they protect the Fed, they shield them from stuff like this. But the Fed was pointing fingers right away. So they had to basically reverse course. And that's not to say that Trump is right. He's creating a bigger bubble, which is going to lead to a bigger economic calamity. But now that the Fed and Trump are seemingly working together to make this bubble, they're trapped, because once they veer off, Trump has millions of Twitter fans that are eating up every word that he types. And it's an interesting situation.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. There's a definite collusion between the two. But Trump is blunt. He's out in front, and that makes him different. And I sort of like that. But it also comes across as a cheerleader, and he's able to talk people in excitement, because when he talks about the economy, because he does have several positive points. Unemployment's down, and the stock market's up. That's supposed to be very good. But one thing that was around a long time before Trump was here, or Powell, and that is in the monetary system and by the Fed, they've been arguing the case they watch inflation, and they talk about inflation. And the previous Federal Reserve Board chairman have always talked about what we need is price inflation at 2%. And what's in their mind is CPI at 2%. And they're always saying, well, we didn't reach our target. We're trying to get our target. It's only 1.2%. And they go on and on. And yet there's horrendous inflation during the QEs when they took the money, the monetary base and the holdings of the Fed from 0.8 up to $4.5 trillion. That's inflation. It just hasn't sorted itself out and people have benefited by it. So there's a lot of inflation. But the reason I think they say there is no inflation, it gives them room to inflate more. And they know they're going to have to inflate more. Historically high interest, high inflation rates, that is the printing of money and spending. And so they justify this by saying there's no inflation, but there is plenty of inflation, especially if we could get people around to thinking that inflation basically is caused by the Federal Reserve by printing money. The fact that they can't get a government statistic, which frequently is rigged, to say, well, prices are going up at 4% or something like that. They say, well, they're 1.2%. We can still inflate the currency. We can still pump up the stock market. We can still send money to the banks for free. We can still loan out money and have the corporations take the money and you know, put it in reserves in the bank, and they can take some of it and buy back their stock. It's all to pump up the stock market. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot more to the economy than an artificially high stock market. And there will, a day will come when everybody will realize, hey, maybe this wasn't a new paradigm. Maybe it's the same old stuff, because some of the rules, most of the economic rules can't be changed. They can be altered. Timing can be changed, but you can't really, change the principles. But today, we're witnessing changes in monetary policy that probably never existed. Some people say in the history of mankind, taking interest rates to the tune of trillions of dollars in central banks and even private loaning, negative interest rates. It's the craziest thing ever. And one thing that really bugs me is that when the far left, the Marxists, come along and say, you know what, we need socialism because this capitalism isn't working. Well, let me tell you, what we have here is not capitalism. And that's one area where I think they don't even have the vaguest understanding what true capital is all about.
That's right, Dr. Paul. They this idea of targeting inflation and CPI, all of this is nonsense. And there's countless opinions. I saw Ocasio-Cortez talking about how the Fed should not have raised rates. There's people, yes, they should have raised rates. All of it is nonsense. Nobody, including the Federal Reserve, knows what interest rates should be. Prices are not dictated like that. I mean, could you imagine politicians arguing with one another? The price of Under Armour sneakers should be $70. And another one saying, no, they should be $100. It would be absurd. Well, it's just as absurd for people to think that they know what interest rates should be, including the Fed, and they price fix and they ruin the economy, just like the sneaker business would be ruined if there were price controls imposed on it. Supply and demand determine market prices. The people that are in the transaction at that moment making their value decisions, not dictated by politicians and central bankers.
You know, the stocks were down sharply and looked like the correction was coming last fall in December, and all the stock market was way down. And this is when Trump got very excited about really pushing hard on Powell to lower interest rates, and he wasn't quite in the mood to do this. But eventually that happened. There was a lot of noise, and he capitulated, and he more or less went with the president. And somebody said, boy, nobody, Federal Reserve Board, they're independent, you know, and they don't do this. But my argument is they've done it all along. They just do it differently. And the one that is the most interesting example was when Arthur Burns was the Federal Reserve chairman under Nixon. And Nixon really, really pushed hard. And it looked like Burns was, going and did capitulate and lower interest rates for him. And a reporter asked Arthur Burns, he says, does that mean that you're listening to the president and doing what he's doing? He says, no, Federal Reserve Board chairmen have to listen to the president, or we'll lose our independence. So the independence is really a joke. When they talk about independence, and all the years I worked on auditing the Fed, they needed independence and privacy. What they want is secrecy, so that we don't know how they're doing it, how they're spending the trillions and trillions of dollars. But you know, there's so many different measurements of bubble economy, and there's a lot out there now. But it's uneven, and this is normal. Inflation, increasing the money supply, doesn't always create the same things at the same time. You know, the inflation of the 20s didn't cause consumer prices to go up and say, oh, we better watch out, consumer prices are going up. No, it's unpredictable. And right now, when you think about a negative interest rate on a bond, it is huge inflation, because the lower the price of the bond, the more it costs to buy it. It's not worth the investment. You're spending a lot of money, and now you have to get negative interest rate. You're even paying them to take your money. So this whole thing, you know, cancels out the whole concept of capitalism. You know, capital is supposed to be what you have after you spend what you earned just to live. If you have something left over, if a farmer can produce 100 bushels and only use 50 of them, he gets to sell half of them, 50, and have capital and build and buy and all these things. But no, capital now, and it's endlessly said, well, you know, the Fed creates the capital. They make it available. They tell you what the price of the capital should be. And that is so far removed from a functioning free market economy. And many conservative economists know this, but they can't say that because the Republicans are in charge. So this is something that I think people don't realize, that we are so far removed, you know, from a functioning economy where supply and demand and pricing of money, you know, is the big issue. And it is more distorted now. I never believed it could become this distorted and still function. But right now, there's a big contest going on. The president needs to keep those interest rates low and lower, because if they creep up a little bit, it might, bring about the correction that will come. So he has a lot at stake. But the Democrats, you know, and even though they endorse all this spending and monetization of debt, they don't want this. They want the crash to come before the election so they can benefit from it. So there's a contest going on there. But I think there's less of a contest between the role of the executive branch of government and the Federal Reserve. They're not dealing with the principle of money. They're not saying, you know, what we really need is an audit of the Federal Reserve and find out what we're doing, and then maybe make the case for why do we even have a central bank. No, they're not even there. They don't even, you know, want to talk about competing currencies. We've been working on the idea that why isn't it legal to enforce and allow the Constitution to say only gold and silver can be legal tender for the states? No, they won't even allow that to happen, because you have to have, you know, a monopoly on the money supply. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on whether or not the government will crack down on cryptocurrencies, because that is competition too. And I'm for competition. I don't know all what's going to happen, but I do know that the system that we have now, with the trillions and trillions of dollars of spending and deficits and all the maneuvering going on, and having a system designed mainly to boost up the prices of stocks, it's not going to end well.
Right, Dr. Paul, and I'm going to talk about the end to finish here, looking at the big picture. You know, the Federal Reserve and America's military empire were basically created together, and they have worked hand in hand like a double-edged sword with one another for over 100 years now. And as Dr. Paul has pointed out many times, you know, I think they're going to end together, the Fed and the empire. Empires always end for financial reasons. Nobody's going to defeat the U.S. military. Nobody's even trying to. But financially, this just can't hold up. And it has been falling apart for a good, I would say, 50, 60 years, since the 70s, when with Vietnam and the going off the gold standard. And now we're just into the crazy part of it, with The Iraq War entered a new phase, and on a financial side, with the 2008 financial crisis, they pumped trillions of dollars. They don't even know what to do anymore. But we know what ideas should replace this. And the Fed and the empire, non-interventionist foreign policy, sound money, and America could be America again.
Very good. And I want to close by talking a little bit again about the measurement of inflation. And most people now, especially the financial markets, look at inflation as prices going up. So I never hear it on TV unless you happen to come across an Austrian economist saying, you know, the inflation comes from the Fed creating money and credit out of thin air. But when the government reports a statistic on the CPI and the PPI, it's interesting that on the short run, even though there's a lot of people invested, know better on the long run what will happen. On the short run, the investment, the traders, what's going to happen the next hour or two or three, have a reaction. So recently, the CPI crept up just a little bit, and the PPI crept up a little bit, and they were getting you know closer to expressing real price inflation. But what did it do? It lowered the price of gold because they thought, oh, this will be less likely that tomorrow the Fed might say, I'm not going to lower the interest rates. You know, there's a pause. So there's a moment there where the traders say, oh, no. And they inversely think the CPI is going up and the PPI. You know, in the 70s, it was very clear. They watched it like crazy. If the PPI and the CPI, you know, was going up at 15%, and they know, well, the Fed has to, cut back. And there was a different reaction. But right now, the fake statistics coming out with the CPI, and then the immediate reaction is completely confusing, because if prices are going up, and let's say the inflation rate is up because the economy truly is active, well, you would think that the price of gold is going to up. Oh, no, they say, oh, tomorrow the Fed is going to cut back. So it's very bizarre on anybody figuring out. I think that a lot of people who understand finances and monetary policy would be a nervous wreck trying to invest in this economy, because it's so inconsistent with what the long term is. Short term, though, they're making billionaires out of them. And, of course, people on the short term, they get the money and they get to make the profits in the military industrial complex and all the other benefits. But our point here is it participates in the bubble. The plunge protection team used to be thought to be there. If there's a stock market crash, the Fed's going to rush in and buy some stock. The plunge protection team now is a preventative organization. They want to prevent it. So here they're treating today's conditions as if we're in the depth of the biggest depression ever, and they're panicked into the conditions, and therefore they have to print like crazy to the point where everybody's going to have negative interest rate. There's an end to all this, and the one thing for sure is no one person knows exactly when it will end, but it's not good policy. And when the end comes, it will offer an opportunity for all of us to start talking about sound economic policy, and especially what sound money is all about. The founders understood it, and I think there's a better understanding today than ever, but they've been getting away with fiat money for a long time, but that will come to an end. So we hope we can contribute to the positive aspect of getting people to understand what sound money and liberty is all about. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.